Morning. Great to see you. Do keep that passage open. We're in Luke 18, and it's the last of our Fruitful Followers series. We've been doing this at different points throughout the year, and today we're going to land here in this passage. I wonder how easy you find it to say, I can't. I can't do that. Or to say, nope, that's beyond me. How easy do you find it to admit defeat or need or weakness? If anything like me, then you probably find it incredibly hard to humble yourself enough to say that you need help. Now, when you're little, you love help. You love having everything being done for you. But as you get older, rightly, you want independence and to be able to do stuff yourself. And then as you get older again, the last thing you want to ever do is to admit that you need help from anyone, to depend on anyone. The transition from dependence to from independence to dependence can be really, really hard. Whether that's the fact we need now to take medication, or whether it's the fact that we need help from somebody else. It's quite humbling, isn't it? Let's be honest, we don't like it. Let's forget when in my last church, I had to start wearing these things. And just the agony I felt. And standing for the first time with a pair of glasses on, I felt so old and incompetent and weak. And now I quite like wearing them. I can hide behind them, which is great. But actually, I remember when I first began to wear these, I felt so embarrassed and humbled. Like, age is coming upon me. I'm getting older. I can't see. It's hard to say that I can't, or I need help. But do you know what? This morning we're going to see that to be dependent, to humbly depend, is the key to life. To humbly depend is the key to life. It is the key to life in all its fullness, and it's the gateway to glory. Hear that again. To humbly depend is the key to life. It is the key to life in all its fullness, and it is the gateway to glory. Do you see what Jesus says in that last phrase in our passage this morning, verse 14? He says this, those who humble themselves will be exalted. They will be lifted up by the Lord. They'll be lifted up by Jesus eternally. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. And our verse there makes that absolutely clear, doesn't it? Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. That great phrase, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We are utterly dependent on Jesus. That is the place where life begins. That is the posture we need to maintain of humility. Let's pray that God would get that truth into our hearts this morning through his word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you remind us again this morning of our utter need of you. That humility is the pathway to life. It is the way to glory. Teach us afresh, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to see two things this morning. First thing I'm going to see is this, that we're to trust humbly in Jesus and not yourself, and you're going to be saved. Trust humbly in Jesus and not yourself, and you'll be saved. And it's from this amazing parable. You know it so well, don't you? It's a great parable, a great picture of independence, a great picture of dependence. And these two characters are so different to the other. One seems successful, one seems in an absolute mess. And humanly speaking, if we had these two people in the room, who would you have thought would have been welcomed into heaven by the Lord? The successful, moral fella, or the messed up one? It's a bit like a panto, isn't it, these characters? You've got the Pharisee, he's like the hero of the show. He's like Aladdin or Prince Charming or Dick Whittington. The Pharisee, he was highly respected in the culture then. He was devout. He was disciplined. A good egg. He was keen on charity work. He helped those in need. In Jesus' day, for many, he was the guy back town to love, to respect, to be in awe of. You're the man, we'd say. But then there's the other character. He's like the villain. He's like Jafar, the ugly sisters, or King Rat. He's the tax collector. Thank you, boo indeed. That's the spirit, brother. He was the guy who people would boo and hiss at. Now, if you work for HMRC, can I just say, you're very welcome this morning. My apologies, you did a great job. We need taxes. But in Jesus' day, the tax collector was not popular. He was like working with the enemy, Romans. He was gathering money for them. And their reputation didn't they, of gathering too much and putting a bit for themselves before they gave it to the Romans. Now we know, don't we? Who would you, humanly speaking, would think would be saved and welcomed by God into heaven? Which one in your books would get them through the pearly gates? It's a no-brainer, isn't it? Surely the hero, the Pharisee, moral, upright, brimming full of religiosity. When he goes to the temple, look at his posture there. He is verse 11. He's standing upright, isn't he? He's holding himself well. Head up high. This glorious prayer. I. Verse 11. God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. What a guy. Pretty impressive. Look at all he's done. Look at what he doesn't do. He's avoided anything really, really bad. All great and laudable things. Maybe the sort of guy who'd get one day a Prize of Britain award in our culture. He is devout, he's religious, he fasts, he tithes, he's generous, he's charitable. Surely he is the contender. He is the man for God's welcome. I mean, look at the other guy. The tax collector. He can hardly get into the temple. Can you see where he is in verse 13? He stands at a distance. Look at his posture. He stands so far back, he's almost hanging out the door. He's in a mess. He can't even lift his head. Look, he would not even look up to heaven. He's a mess. He's in a state. He's broken. Now, if we were him in our culture, maybe we'd be like having our head in our hands and shaking our head. But he is kind of beating his chest in sorrow. And his prayer is so small, it's so tiny. You could easily miss it. It's there in verse 13. Have a look at it. Seven words. He says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He said it. I'm a sinner. That's him. A friend of mine took his family to one of those trampoline parks. They're called Urban Jump. It's like a room full of trampolines, and around the side of the walls, the trampolines are at angles. You can just bounce everywhere. And there was a safety video he watched, and the phrase to keep you safe was this: don't do anything you don't feel awesome at. Hardly clear guidance. Anyway, imagine these two characters turn up at Urban Jump. And there's the Pharisee, and he feels totally awesome about himself and life and what he does. And he's in the park, jumping everywhere. He's bouncing away, somersaulting, bounding around. I feel awesome! His prayer is all about his awesomeness. I. And when you get to tax collector, imagine him at Urban Jump. He can't even get his shoes off. He can't even start bouncing. He can't even say the word awesome. Now, which of these guys would you back? Would you put your money on the Pharisee? Would you back the other guy? Well, look at what Jesus says. It's just extraordinary. Verse 14. I tell you that this man, that the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. I tell you that this man, this tax collector, went home justified, that is, accepted and welcomed by God, rather than the other, the Pharisee. What? The cheating tax collector, the sinner, was accepted by God? and we'll be welcomed into heaven. Now, if you didn't see that coming, you must have missed verse 9. Look what Jesus is saying in verse 9 as he starts his parable and he speaks to his audience. He's speaking to the hearts of people who are listening. He says, to some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. He tells it to people who think they're awesome, who've got everything to deliver, who can bring all that they are before God and think, I'll be absolutely fine. You see, Jesus knew and loved his audience then. He knows and loves us now. He loves us so much that he tells us what we need to know. He wants to pop our wrong and dangerous assumptions that will lead us away from being accepted by him and welcomed into glory. He wants to teach us this morning what we need to realize before it's too late and we face a lost and dreadful eternity in hell. This Pharisee thinks he can do enough to be accepted by God, that he can bring the goods, independence, autonomy. Look at what I can bring and do, he says. And let's be honest, it's so easy for us to think like that, isn't it? Our default position as humans is self-righteousness. Most people think like that. We look at the papers or our neighbors or our TV and we think, well, I'm not as bad as them. I'll be okay, I've lived a good enough life, I'll get into heaven. Okay, it's my right. Look at all I've done. I'm better than most. Do you see Jesus' chilling words in verse 14? For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled. When you think you are enough, that you are good enough, you can be accepted by your own good works, you can have the shock of your life when you pass from life to the next. You will, Jesus says, be humbled forever, eternally judged and punished, because you would not see your need. This guy did not see his need of salvation, of a savior. Somebody else could help him. It's quite striking, isn't it? And the key truth is exemplified in this messed up tax collector who is welcomed and accepted and justified. What does Jesus say? Humble yourself and you will be exalted. Those who humble themselves will be lifted up. That's this tax collector's story. He's needy. He says to the Lord, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And these words, friends, these words are the words that bring life in all its fullness. Humbly accepting your need. Nothing I bring to the table, Lord. Nothing in me that I deserve to be welcomed, but I come to you. I deserve your judgment, but I come to you for mercy. I need you. My sins are many, but your mercy is more. When we come to the Lord like that, Jesus forgives and welcomes and draws us in. And amazingly, the Savior, he humbled himself, didn't he? He makes himself nothing, becoming a man and growing up and dying on the cross and bearing our sins and judgment on himself and dying and rising again. He does all of that we might know his mercy and he might grant us life now and forever. Humbling yourself like this character in this story is the gateway to life in all its fullness and life forever in glory. Have you grasped that? Do you know that? Friends, this morning, have you started that journey? And if you haven't, it's just a sentence away where we say, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Save me. I trust in Jesus. I'm a sinner. I need you. And when we pray that prayer, when we turn to Christ, that is where life begins. Jesus tells this parable to shock us to realize that until we see our need of Jesus, we are lost. We might feel awesome, but we are lost. And like this tax collector, the way to be found is in that prayer, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And let me tell you, God delights to welcome us and accept us when we come to him. That is great news. That's the great news we're going to share again and again over the coming months. What a great time we're heading into. How exciting. Great news to share. I love it that God comes in. He forgives. He turns people's lives upside down. And I guess many of us this morning are on that path. We've come to know Jesus. And the question this morning, as we kind of bring our series to a close through this verse through the year, is how is your journey going? Are you continuing the journey of sticking close to Jesus and relying on him humbly? You see, to humble yourself before the Lord is the way in to life in all its fullness and the way to glory. It's the way in, and it's the way we're to keep on living. So friends, keep bearing the fruit of humble dependence. The way in is the posture we are to maintain as God's people, humility. That's why prayer is just saying, I need you. How often do you pray that in the day? Lord, I need you. In our families, in our life, in our work, in our church. Lord, I need you. I depend on you. That's the posture the people of God. That lovely phrase right at the end. Have you got it? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Steve Reese, apart from me, you can do nothing. Put your name in that space. Over this last year, we've looked at various different ways of being fruitful as believers. Thought about our character, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, self-control, holiness, purity, welcoming people, audacious prayer, compassion for the lost who need Jesus Christ, compassion for the needy who need care and practical provision, generosity in all that we have, keeping going, perseverance, good stewardship, remember that bag of life, all the stuff God has given us, what are we doing with it for him? Thankfulness, seen through the gifts to the giver and being thankful. And humility, kind of humanity wraps the whole thing up, doesn't it? It says, Lord, I need your help to do this. Maybe you see all these different things we're called to become as we follow Jesus, becoming more like him. We think, man, how can I do it? But that's the point. We come humbly this morning saying, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. I wonder over this last year, as you've done a few little series in this talks, what has God put his finger on your life and have done anything about it? We hear so much stuff, but is it settling into your heart? Are you humbly saying, Lord Jesus, I hear you, help me. I hear you, help me. When you come to know Jesus, you are a branch in the vine. We need his life, we need his word, we need his spirit. So remember, he says, stay close to me. If you stay close to me, you're going to bear this fruit. And remember that apart from me, you can do nothing. What a relief. Isn't it great we have to sleep every day? That's the big statement that we need the Lord. We can do nothing where we are snoring. Totally dependent on life, on him. That's the same during the day, friends. Humbly depending on him. Lord, keep me humbly depending on you. Help me to learn that those who humble themselves will be exalted. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Let me pray. Let's say our own prayers to Jesus in our hearts. Lord, we thank you so much for this amazing parable. Just how powerful it is, that glorious truth that those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Help that not to be us this morning. Help us to run to Jesus for the first time. And help us as those who've run to Jesus to keep on humbling ourselves, saying, Lord, we need you. We can't do this without you. Praise you, Lord, that you so gladly run to help, love to bless, love to enable us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.